right, folks, who else is already online?
David Tirico, PSI.
All right. Do you prefer to go by David or Dave?
David.
Okay.
And I was the first one.
Great. Okay, thank you.
Also, Anne's sick today, so I'm going to be representing the SPN.
Okay, that's fine. I know we've got somebody else missing as well. Lyle's not going to be attending. Okay, did I hear, Lyle, that you are online? Lyle? Who came in just before Gio? Maybe that was just Gio guys talking. Okay, Susie, who else is there?
And Dan Gold.
Okay, I missed that list because of Mitch calling in. Can you repeat it, Susie?
Tom Stein, Keith Bennett, Dan Skull.
Okay, I got Susie, Tom, Keith, and Dan.
Right.
And then it was Mitch after that, right?
Yes.
Okay, Mitch, you were saying you're on a cell phone?
Yep. So I'll try to keep the mic muted so you don't have to listen to the road noises and all that.
Okay, appreciate it. Tom Stein. Okay, so we got our geo contingent.
Hey, Elizabeth?
Yes?
We have another telecon in 1 hour, so we will have to leave after that.
Okay. Hopefully we can get through this in an hour. That would be great. So, at the moment we are missing NAIF, PCI, ATM, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Who am I missing?
Elizabeth, this is Chris.
Yes, Chris.
I know Mike is on the working group. Is Mike McCauley on today?
Not that I've heard yet, no.
Okay, thanks.
Which node am I missing? Atmospheres, imaging, geo, NAIF, PPI, ring, radio science. Okay, there we go. Good morning, Todd.
Good morning. How's everything?
I think we're doing okay here.
Is it just you and me, or?
No, we've got David Tirico, Susie Slavy, Tom Stein, Keith Bennett, Dan Scholes. Is that right? Scholes?
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. Mitch Gordon, Chris Isbell, and Patty Garcia. Did I miss anyone? Okay.
Can I start by complimenting you, Elizabeth, on such a great job that you're doing? I thought this SCR that you reworked was just fantastic work.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that. We got Ron Joyner's just joined us. I should mention that Steve Hughes is here as well as myself. All right. We often don't get NAIF. I'm a little surprised Dick isn't here yet, but Lyle said that he probably wasn't going to be attending today, so I think we've got most of the folks we're going to get. Okay, everybody has received version 4 of the SCR, I hope. Did anybody have any trouble getting a hold of that? Oh, the other thing I wanted to announce before we get started, the standards reference version 3.7 is now finished. So we're just in the process of getting that out onto the website where it can be downloaded. But yeah, basically it's done. It should be out there, I would presume, sometime this week. Okay, on the SCR, there's a couple things that I wanted to make sure that people are aware of before we go ahead and discuss it. The example that I had for the checksum.tab file, I want it to be noted that I did the file specification in lowercase letters, and I did not enclose the checksums in quotes. Both of those choices were made in order to be consistent with most of the software and the way it works right now. So I just want people to be aware of that. And then there's a couple of issues that I would like to bring up to discuss. But first of all, let's find out, does anybody else have any issues they'd like to bring up with the SCR first?
Well, I have a few comments, but if we're going to go through it, I could offer those as we go through it.
Well, why don't we go around the table then. Let's see. Gio, do you guys have any comments you'd like to make?
Yes, Elizabeth. At the bottom of the first page under proposed solution,
The second paragraph starts with the word alternatively, and I think that's really meant maybe to be in addition, because I don't think it should be that you can either maintain a list of checksums or put the table on. I think you have to do within the first two-line paragraph. And really, the second thing being optional, I think that second paragraph really doesn't even need to be in there, because it's really an optional thing.
That was going to be my comment, too.
Okay, should we just drop that paragraph and address how to handle the checksums in labels in a separate place? Is that what I'm sort of hearing?
Yeah, I think
so. Yeah.
Okay, then should I also drop the MD5 checksum template update?
The what again? I'm sorry?
The keyword MD5 checksum, the only place that would be used would be in labels. Should I keep that attached to this SDR, or should I remove that and put it on a separate SDR?
Well, that was going to be a separate question that I had, and the MD5 checksum element is something that we need to have approved, at least if we're going to use it in labels.
Right.
And I was thinking that if it was bundled with this and it got approved, we wouldn't have to have that second SDR resurrected.
Okay, that actually brings up one of the... Go ahead.
That was the question, is whether or not it can be bundled with this, and if that's appropriate, I'm okay with that.
Okay.
Why do I feel like I'm suddenly in the Congress and we're trying to put riders on? No, I'm sorry, Todd. I couldn't pass that one up.
Because I'm trying to avoid extra effort. That MD5 checksum thing got into the dictionary, and it was assumed to have been approved, but the status was never set to approved. And that's caused some confusion. It's kind of like having, you know, a line item for NASA disappear out of the final budget that gets signed, you know. So you could look at it that way.
Yeah, a great thing to keep it here.
Did anybody have any objections to keeping it in the SDR?
Nope, apparently not.
Okay, then my second question is, given that SHA-1 was talked about as a checksum that people also want to use, do we need to come up with a separate SHA-1 checksum? Is there anybody right now who would like to see that happen?
Not in this SDR.
Okay.
But for consistency, we're going to have some description of SHA-1 in our standards, just like we do for MD5.
Well, I'm not quite sure where to put that. I agree with you.
Why does it have to go in the standards? Ultimately, aren't we just going to do a checksum type equals SHA-1, and we have to define that when we define the type?
All right. Well, I'll step back a bit from that statement. But in terms of archiving the algorithm, you know, some reference to some paper like we did with the RFC for the MD5, I think PDS has some obligation to sort of preserve that if it can be preserved by PDS. So now, where that goes, it doesn't matter to me.
Okay, here's my proposal. I agree it needs to be in there somewhere, but let's not put it in this current SDR. I'm going to throw in the queue just a discussion about SHA-1 and where we describe checksums in general.
Yeah.
And actually, that may simply fall out of the rewrite of the standards reference that needs to happen for version 3.8. So let me make that a separate SDR. That way we won't clutter this one.
Elizabeth, when you're done jotting your note, I have another comment.
Okay, is that Mish?
Oh, it's Tom still.
Tom, okay, sorry, go ahead, yep.
On the top of page 2, in the first full paragraph,
okay.
Fourth line down where it says however, comma.
Yes.
So if you do, I think we could remove everything from the word the from however back up to the beginning of the paragraph. I think it's kind of extraneous background information that might cause some questions instead of getting us to the meat of the proposal.
All right, I have no objection to that. Does anybody else? This is the sentence that says, there are various types of checksums available that can be used for this purpose. The PDS has traditionally supported a simple checksum consisting of a 32-bit integer sum of all bytes in a data file. The one currently best suited to this purpose utilizes the fifth generation manifest digest, or MD5, algorithm. So if we drop that, the paragraph then consists of, the proposals outlined in this SDR are not limited to any particular type of checksum and should allow for the easy implementation of new and better checksum algorithms as they become available.
That is the salient point.
Okay, so no objections that I hear to Tom's suggestion.
Okay, great. And then the bottom of page 3.
Bottom of page 3. Okay, actually, hang on. Let me know what you just said first.
Okay.
Okay, great. Bottom of page 3. Go for it.
Under changes to the PDF tool suite?
Yes.
I think the word since should probably just be the word because. That's a really easy one to get out of the way.
Because there are no changes? Is that what you're saying?
Instead of the word since?
Yes.
Just put in because instead.
Since there are no changes needed to any PDF tool suite.
Because.
Oh, yeah. Okay, fine. I'll do that.
Yeah.
Sure.
I know. It's a little binky one.
Bottom of page 3, since goes to because. All right. Other comments?
That's slightly more controversial, but hopefully not much. At the top, near the top of that page.
Same page 3?
Yep.
Okay.
Under the big paragraph at the top under checksum.tab.
Yes.
The paragraph ends with an optional third column named checksum type, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
And I'm thinking that we probably don't want to limit it, just saying that you can only have 3 columns in this table. I can't imagine somebody really wanting more than that, but there's no reason not to allow it. So I think if we just said optional columns, name checksum type may be used, dot, dot, dot.
I actually had a comment going the other direction, because maybe I just remember wrong from the last meeting. This is David Trico, by the way.
Sure.
I thought we decided not to allow a third column, because currently there's no tools that would support any more than 2 columns, and so for now we're going to make the SCR to only allow 2 columns, and you have multiple tables for multiple checksum types, and if we ever needed to change it in the future, we would at that point.
Then you have that's a possibility, but you do have a naming issue for how you name the other checksum tables.
Well, I've already provided.
Yeah, you can mnemonically name them. Just like MD5 checksum abbreviated dot tab. It's already in the standard for that.
Okay. It's a duplication of data, but however you guys want to deal with it, it's fine.
Elizabeth, this is Mitch.
Yes.
Yeah, I had the same recollection that David does, but I've just had a really bothersome thought on that.
Okay.
I'm on the voting for requiring the checksum table on the volume.
Yes.
And the SCR specifically says that it includes every file on the volume except itself. If you're going to have multiple checksum tables on a single volume, doesn't that start to become a problem?
Oh, boy. Okay, no, we just need to put wording in there that accepts any checksum tables in their labels. I would just need to change the wording.
Yeah, just to include the other checksum tables. I thought of that, too.
Okay.
So you guys are recollecting that last time we decided to not permit the third column.
That's what I thought.
Okay, are there any objections to that?
No, I think Dick Simpson might object. I don't know if Dick's on.
He's not here.
He was the one that suggested that third column.
Yeah. Okay.
It's not that big of a deal, really.
I don't know whether I should inject this question that I have with it. If we do include the checksum type column, what values will it have? Should it have those as enumerated under checksum type?
That would probably be the easiest, although...
And I would suggest that is what we do.
Yeah.
Because it's an enumerated value list, can't be just anything.
Yep, that's right.
Is that true in a table? I mean, it would be true in the sense that we would need to have an enumerated list in order for software to make any use of it.
Right. And I realize that might be kind of a unique set of constraints on a table. But I think that's what we would need if we kept the checksum type as a field, because it has to be interpreted in a particular way. It has to have a certain value to be interpreted.
All right.
And here's the other side of this. If offline I'm keeping a table of checksums for a multiple volumes, then I would probably want a table that let me have checksum type in that table.
Right, if you use different checksum types on different volumes or even different parts of volumes.
Well, ultimately, you're going to have it for different volumes just because we're going to get newer stuff later on.
Right, which may...
Now we're talking about the offline, not necessarily the one on the volume.
Right. I think that was part of Dick's point.
Okay, and the primary argument, of course, there would be that you would want consistency between the formats of the table so you could use the same software on them.
Yeah. The trouble is if you generate a table with MD5, and then you want to validate a checksum with MD5, it's not going to recognize that third column. Is it still going to operate off the first two?
No, it's going to treat everything after the checksum is filed.
Yeah. And that was why we said that we didn't want the third column, because the existing software won't handle it.
Yep.
Okay, let's do a real quick head count. Geo, do you have an opinion on the third column?
No. Nope.
As in, no, you don't want it, or no opinion?
He answered your question.
I was thinking that we might want it at some time, but we don't want to prolong this discussion, so we'll kind of go along with just two columns.
We're flexible here, just like others will be flexible when we don't require this table on the archive.
Yeah, so we're doing it.
All right. So you're saying, okay, you basically don't care. Imaging.
I prefer to see it stay, but I can go either way.
You prefer to see the third column?
Yes.
Permitted. Okay, PPI.
If it's optional, it makes no difference to us. That's the thing. I mean, we're not going to probably put it on.
Okay, what we could do is put in a, okay, let me finish the votes off here first. Rings.
I think I'd be okay with optional.
Okay. SBN?
I'd vote for no, not optional.
Okay, and engineering?
I walked out of the room, so I missed a part of this discussion. Was there the concept of being able to create a specific table for MD5, which would be required keywords, required columns, where all other checksum tables were generic, allowing multiple columns?
No, what we have right now is a table with two columns and an optional third, and people are questioning whether or not we should permit that optional third column.
And the name of the table is checksum.
Checksum.tab or a variation on that. I've allowed for multiple checksum tables by having term abbreviations.
What's the name of the table itself in terms of the table object?
Checksum table, I would guess.
Checksum table. Okay.
Yeah.
Then I would go for optional.
Okay. All right. What I will do is we'll go with optional, but I will add a sentence to that paragraph that states that if that third column is included, people need to be aware that most of the software utilities that are out there right now will no longer be able to read the table. Does that sound good?
That works.
Okay.
And so that means we can't have a fourth one then if we wanted? I don't want one. I'm just asking a stupid question.
I guess if we've thrown in a third column, we've basically opened it up. Okay, so we could say...
either optional columns or just stick with two, either way. But I think we don't want to just say, oh, now you can only have three.
Three, okay, all right.
Just saying that you have a minimum of these two columns.
Right. Okay, so I will modify that paragraph so that additional columns are permitted, but warning will break the software.
And
one of those is the checksum type. And then you want to put wording in there that suggests that people use the enumerated list of checksums.
Suggest, I mean require.
Require, okay.
Require, yeah.
Okay, we'll break software. If checksum type column require use of enumerated values for that keyword.
Right. Now, if all this sounds like we're overburdening this checksum file with requirements, it might be better not to have the third column. But, yeah.
It looks like we got a majority of people wanting that option, at least, even though they don't intend to use it.
Yeah.
I guess it's going to be an optional table anyway.
Or the optional field.
Yeah, yeah.
Hopefully not optional.
But I'd like to raise the issue and address Dave's concern, and that is, why couldn't somebody define a MD5 checksum table where only two columns are required?
You can't.
And then there's no question.
Yeah, that's probably the default, is that somebody would have a two column table, that would contain only checksums of one type.
But it would actually be a specific object. I'm saying this would be formally defined and validated against. We define a XYZ checksum table with
Why do we need to, though?
Well, to address Dave's concern, is it that...
Well, no, in this, the checksum field, you have to have the checksum type specified for it.
No,
so
I'm saying
you can do the validation.
Steve's talking about a two-column table where we don't include the checksum type as a third column, and I thought our solution to that was to include the checksum type keyword in the object definition for the
right.
table.
That would work.
Right.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying in terms of validation, there's no longer a question of a third column. If you want to tie it up tight, you just make a specific object.
Right, but I thought the whole reason for the checksum type field was if you're mixing checksum types in the table.
I agree. Yeah,
I'm not sure anybody would really do because they're different lengths and character strings and all this sort of thing. I mean, they're just completely different kind of animals. Usually, each checksum type.
The other reason I think I would argue against it is the MC is basically telling us not to proliferate objects right now,
okay.
And I think we can do the job adequately without it. So
sure.
Is that?
That's fine.
Okay.
I just raised the issue that,
yeah.
In case somebody wanted to try to address that. Is that a concern? Okay.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of a question. Do we want to allow people to mix checksum types in a single file? I'm not sure that
no.
The implementation is a very good idea.
I think, again, it sounds like what I'm hearing, the majority of the nodes are saying, if people want to be crazy enough to do that, let them. But we will warn them that they're going to have to go off and develop their own software to handle it in that case.
Yeah, now I'm probably going to renege on my vote in a minute, Elizabeth. Are we going away from our kinder, simpler PDS of the future? You know, the kinder, simpler PDS of the future would be you don't mix checksum types. You have a separate table for each type of checksum you have on it. End of story.
Anyone else want to change their vote?
You can put me down for two columns, though.
Oh.
That's definite. I'm changing my vote.
Okay.
I'm now, I only got one foot on the other side of the fence now, not the whole leg. I want to say no.
Well, don't sit down, Todd.
People say I'm wishy-washy. Well, maybe I am and maybe I'm not.
All right. The small bodies, you voted for just two columns, right?
Correct.
I got to say, it'll sure make life easier if we limit it to two.
So PPI is now going to two. Steve, are you leaning in the two direction?
Rings is going for two.
Rings is voting for two. Geo, are you still don't care?
You still don't care the format of this optional table.
All right, we're now back to Todd. Okay.
Well, don't care.
No, we don't. Pardon me?
Don't care is not a yes or a no, right?
Two column, now Todd doesn't have to decide.
I'm sorry, who said that?
That was Geo.
That was Geo.
That was Geo now voting for two. All right, we're going for two columns.
Sorry.
Okay, that makes things simpler. So, we are back to... I drop an optional third column and make it clear that it contains only two columns. The order we have left optional based on votes from last week. And we do allow multiple checksum tables. Okay. Geo, does that pretty much finish your comments?
Except that the table really, we feel, needs to be optional on the volume. Not the case of having checksums, period, but... we don't see that it needs to be a required table, required file on the archive volume.
Yeah, I was presuming we were going to have to vote again on that. That was the one issue that we had a tie on last week.
Okay,
right.
Otherwise we're done.
Yep, that's all we had, really.
Okay, I'm sorry, I didn't understand that last question.
No, we're done.
Okay. All right, who's next? Imaging, did you have any further comments?
No, not right now, Elizabeth. Chris, did you have anything?
No, not at the moment.
Okay, who we got next? I guess PPI is next.
Ah, okay. I have two.
Yep.
The first one is with the naming convention of the file. Do
okay.
we want to stick with 8.3? On
the checksum?
I was asking
myself the same thing.
I mean, we get this abbreviated, you know, CHKSUM with only three letters at the beginning.
Yeah. The main reason I went with that is it was consistent with the other file names, but, you know, again, I'm not hard over on that.
I only had it as a question when I read it. I said, you know, we
do allow
if we just leave it all spelled out and you can put any prefix on it you want.
Yeah.
You know, it just kind of works, but maybe it's better to keep it 8.3 so they all line up right. I don't know.
Yeah, we don't like 8.3 anymore.
Yeah, I'm okay with not. I'm okay with going beyond 8.3.
Okay,
sure.
So we would expand it basically and allow you to do something like md5_checksum.tab or sha1_checksum.tab. Okay.
I think that would work a lot better.
Okay, so drop 8.3, and then the examples I'll show. In fact, what I'll do is I'll do axx_checksum.tab
mm-hmm.
as the example.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. That was just kind of more a question. Okay, and then the other had to do with the actual text of the object definition?
Yes.
A couple of things. One, for the element definition for MD5 checksum?
Yes.
The last sentence in the first paragraph?
The MD5 algorithm is intended for digital signature applications. Yes,
I just don't think that really matters much, that what the original intent was for it.
Okay, does anybody have any objections?
I'm sorry, where are you reading exactly?
We're on page 5, the element definition for the MD5 checksum keyword. In the first paragraph in the description, the last sentence of it reads, the MD5 algorithm is intended for digital signature applications.
Okay, thanks.
Does anybody have any objections to dropping that? All right, it's gone. First paragraph.
And then the example. We say it should be enclosed in double quotes, and the example has it in single.
Yes, that is, I'm, okay, this is an issue I've been trying to talk to, I forget who I even talked to, but this is an artifact of, I know, and there's a way of fixing it. I just didn't get it back and fix it in the example here. When the thing actually gets submitted, it's going to have to be submitted in single quote form, and then we're going to have to go in after the fact and change to double quotes. But I think for the sake of argument, I will change it here to double quotes the way it will appear in the data dictionary when we're done. It was the problem of having double quotes within double quotes.
Sure.
Okay, so make sure so that...
Yeah, it's just, I hate to have us
I ran over it as well.
And go, wait a minute, why is it in single quotes?
Exactly, I ran over that as well, and it was like, okay.
Okay.
Make sure example. Okay, sorry, go ahead.
And then the references in there have no relationship to anything in the text. They all reference MD4.
They do, okay. What I'm wondering is in fact we should provide the reference for the RFC 1321 rather than RFC 1320.
Well, that would be appropriate.
Yeah.
And that's actually in the paragraph before the reference.
Exactly. So why don't I drop the three references that are there and dig up the reference for 1321?
Yeah. That was my suggestion.
Okay.
And then my final question comment is on the element definition for checksum type.
Okay. That should be, page 7?
Yeah, I guess so.
Yes.
We have MD5 and SHA1.
Yes.
But not the PDS 32-bit simple thing that
you said is
supported traditionally, but does that mean you can't put it in a table?
I pointed that out last week, and basically what everybody said is, no, we shouldn't allow people to use that anymore.
Okay. All right, so, I'm okay with that. I just wondered.
Yeah. And unless I hear people changing their minds, that was the message I got last time we had telecon. I guess the one thing, is that dash in SHA1 going to cause us trouble? Should I drop it? I guess there's no problem using dashes. Can we use dashes in object?
Well, you say it's an identifier, so I don't know if it's a restricted.
It's a value. It's a value for that.
Do you think
does it actually have a dash?
I think it does, yeah. But would it make life easier if we did it without the dash? I don't think it's going to confuse anybody. Okay, I'm actually inclined to drop the dash in that standard value. Does anybody have any objections?
Nope.
Okay, drop dash from SHA-1 standard value. Okay.
That was it for me.
Great. Okay, thank you, Todd. Let's see. Rings is next.
Yeah, Elizabeth, mine isn't a comment.
yet on the document. I have a question, another opportunity to flaunt my ignorance.
Go ahead.
We deal with something that people who use MD5 internally don't, and that is porting to different systems.
Okay.
We put together files with carriage return line feed.
Yeah.
You port it to a system that is going to drop half of that. It's not going to get the same checksum.
That,
and I don't know whether MD5 adjusts for that or not.
That should only be ASCII files. It files that are specifically transferred, like, for example, via FTP as ASCII text.
MD5 will call it, if you're altering the file by removing,
you'll change.
Say, the carriage return, it's a different file.
Yeah, it will
change. MD5 will be different.
And we're talking about transferring ASCII tables, for instance, and we're doing a lot of our transfers are going to be electronic. Now, at the moment, the real problems we have are catching mistakes that have been made when we're doing hard copy stuff. But is this something we have to allow for, or at least make comments on, that whether it's just simply that the PDS starts, everything starts with carriage return line feeds, and they have to be aware of the problem?
Yes.
I don't know how to deal with this, but I think we're going to encounter it somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, I think most of the PDS data files, and you guys feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, even if they're ASCII tables, for example, are still required to have both the carriage return and the line feed characters. So the main area where I would see differences would be in transferring things like documents. And, you know, then, yeah, okay, we can put a warning message in there.
If I transfer a data table, that's an ASCII table.
Well,
it's going to come in with carriage return line feeds, but the receiving system is going to drop the carriage returns automatically.
Depending on the mode that you transfer it in, isn't it?
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
You can specify that the...
I mean, for example, if you transferred it as binary FTP, then it would not drop them.
Yeah, and this is the point where I'm thinking that somewhere, whether it's in the SCR or in... We need a canned phrase that warns people when they're doing these things. You know, if they're going to do an FTP and try to reevaluate the checksum, then we want to tell them, make sure you do the it is a binary transfer.
I think this was touched on in the impact assessment paragraph.
And anyway, what will happen is the checksum will not match, and it will tell you you have a different file on your system than you pulled from the other system, which is exactly what you want to know. You've changed it somehow in the transfer.
Trouble is that I'm putting together volumes with 1,000 files, and I find out all 1,000 of them are wrong. I'm not going
to
want to chase them down. I mean, obviously I would, but as a user, I'm just going to get frustrated.
If you're a user, you're not going to check the checksums anyway, because users
probably
won't do that.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Mitch, I think actually I hear your issue, and this has been an issue for years, and I kind of like your suggestion. Maybe some of the standards this needs to be addressed, because it's not just for checksum. It's basically that, in a sense, an archive has been corrupted if it has been transferred to an ASCII transfer, because you remove a part of the carriage return line feed, and it's no longer the same files.
Hey, Mitch, how does that affect the label, though? If you have, say, record length and that type of
thing.
It affects everything, yes.
So this is something that goes way beyond just the checksum.
It's been around forever.
It does, and I think that it probably isn't going to be a problem for this SCR, but in the back burner somewhere, we need to have a PDS-wide solution, even if it's only a standardized warning note or advice on how to do the transfer.
Well, I can tell you how we've been thinking about this.
And I'm also thinking that when we do this MD5 checksum, that there ought to be a standard description in the checksum label that says the checksum was built on a system with carriage return line feeds. And the first thing to check if you've gotten it wrong, if you're getting a huge number of erroneous file transfers, is to check the line termination.
But
and that would just be a standard in the description field in the checksum table label, checksum.label.
Okay, Mitch, I just want to clarify one thing. When you say that the receiving system is going to change it, that is actually not correct. I mean, when that change would occur would be during the transfer process. So, for example, if you give somebody a CD with those 1,000 files, they will still contain the carriage return and the line feed, even when mounted on a system that doesn't normally use them.
Right.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm also thinking about electronic transfers, and I'm looking down the road.
Right.
It only affects particular electronic transfers, too, not all of them.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
Yeah. I personally think, I'm sorry, this is Chris, that all these digital transfers in binary mode, because you know that's more of a bigger umbrella issue than just this issue.
Exactly.
Okay. I am writing a note to myself. It will not go in this SDR, but basically on version 3.8 of the standards reference, we want to try and find some place where we put in a warning note about this effect, dropping from CRLF to just LF or CR.
That's good for me.
I'm sorry.
That's it for rings. I'm reasonably happy with where we are with this thing.
Okay. Okay.
But I would like to, I think Mitch had a good caution, and that or something to include in the, to ask to be included in the label, and that is there's a caution to say that if the checksum is wrong after a transfer, then why don't you check?
Yeah, but that's not an absolute.
No, it's not absolute.
And the fact that it was the checksum's calculated on a system that has, carries turn line feed or new line is immaterial to the validity of the MD5 checksum. The checksum just looks at a stream of bytes, and if the bytes are different, they're different.
But I think what Mitch was saying is this is going to happen a lot, and I guess from the engineering note side, our problems with the tool data dictionary is exactly that. Oftentimes, you're playing out a tool data dictionary.
But it only happens if you let the transfer mechanism do it for you.
Exactly.
Right.
So that's the issue.
The one way I could see possibly of addressing that would be in the example checksum label that I have in the SDR, and this will go into the standards reference, put that kind of a warning in the description field. I'm not sure that we should require it, but we could put it in the example.
Sure.
I'm sure we should not require it.
Okay. Does anybody have any problem with me updating the example label then to include that kind of a warning?
I do. I don't think it's a valid warning for the purpose of an MD5 checksum. Because the file is different. Why, I just don't understand why we want to warn them that it might be different if you use a transfer mechanism that's going to change the file.
I was saying that if you did find a problem, this is the first place to check.
But I'm not convinced that this is going to affect the majority of problems. Like, yes, if the majority of problems were caused by this, then say people here's a warning, and this is probably your problem. But we don't know for sure that this is going to be what causes the majority of problems.
I would argue from our experience it is the majority of the problems. I think that's why I'm really keen on what you said. We had this problem in spades, at least from our side.
Wow, I don't see it the same way, Steve. I'm sorry.
That's fair. I'm just saying engineering note had this problem quite a bit. We had to deal with it. Anne, we're ready to hear you.
She was asking which file you have that problem.
Oh, the tool data dictionary.
That's a very different file from the standard archive file. But the download method is very different from the standard download method for archive files.
Well, I'm just saying that in the transfer of an ASCII file, we often found the problem we had at the opposite end was that, this transformation of the file that we didn't know about. I just keyed off of what Mitch was saying. I thought it was an interesting idea.
Yeah, I think the most common error we might have would be for relatively inexperienced users that basically click on a file link in their browser. I think the browsers commonly will strip off the extra.
No, they won't. Not if you stream it. If it's an FTP, it might. But I thought most FTPs, even anonymous FTP through a browser, is a binary transfer.
No, actually, I tried to do research on this once, and many browsers try to guess whether it's text or binary based on the beginning of the file. So if you have an attached label, you're screwed.
Wow.
So I think we just need to educate the users that they should always use binary, and that is in the instructions on our website for doing FTP.
Mm-hmm. That definitely helps.
Because an altered file, if it's altered by the transfer mechanism, I think we want to know.
What about if I made it clear in the warning that this is primarily, basically this is only an issue for ASCII files? Would that help, Todd?
I'm just not sure we need a warning. You could draft something and we can look at it, but maybe I'm just not getting the importance of warning people about something which may or may not affect them.
Okay, I think let's go back and do a quick vote on this one. Gio, would you support or discourage me from including a warning in the example but not requiring it anywhere?
We would discourage.
discourage a warning. Okay. Imaging?
I think it's a little out of place.
You would say no?
Right.
Okay. PPI? You said...
discourage.
Yeah. Ring?
I'm not going to fight hard on this one. I'll let it go.
Okay. Small bodies.
Well, I think it goes somewhere, but not particularly here, so I would say no.
Okay, and engineering?
Well, I was supporting Mitch, so I guess I say no.
All right.
Elizabeth?
Yes.
Not to beat this to death, but I think it's an important issue, but I think what everybody might be saying is that it's just one way that people can corrupt their files. There's a number of other ways.
Yes. Okay,
true.
I think...
I think it's a valid warning somewhere, but maybe not here.
Okay, yeah, this basically drops us back to the position I had earlier, which is that I will add a warning note somewhere in the standards reference in our next version, but that we're not going to worry about it in this SDR. It will be dealt with as a more general issue than just pertaining to checksum values. Okay.
Sounds good.
Excuse me. All right, small bodies. Was that all the comments?
That was all the comments. Unless Anne had something.
No, Anne has been too preoccupied with other things to figure out how to download the attachment to the computer at home so that I can even look at it.
All right.
I think you'd be happy with it, Anne.
Okay, good.
Elizabeth's done a good job.
Okay, engineering. Any more comments, either of you guys? Nope. Okay. We've made a fair number of changes to this. I guess I don't know whether folks would be comfortable voting, given all the changes we've made, or whether or not I should make the updates and then have an email vote during the week. Would you guys be more comfortable with that?
What would we be voting on?
The SDR. There is one last issue we need to discuss, which is the required versus optional issue. Don't worry, I haven't dropped that.
Okay, so we're just voting on the changes we've just made?
Yeah. Basically, yeah. Once I make all of those changes to the SDR,
Well, I don't mind doing it now.
You don't mind having a vote now. What about other folks? How are you feeling? Given all the changes that we've just described.
Yeah, I think you've been very faithful in doing the updates as we described them in the telecon, so I'm confident that you've captured everything we talked about, so I could vote on
them. Okay. If that's the general consensus, then let's go ahead and vote, and this way we can settle the required versus optional issue right now. Here's the approach I'm going to take. I'm going to vote on it right now with the updates we've discussed, as the checksum table is required to be included in the archive. If that fails to pass, we will then go back and talk about, okay, now if it's only optional, then we'll have another vote. So, Gio, what is your vote?
We want it to be optional, so we vote no.
For no. Okay, imaging.
Patty, you know, Mike has been on this working group, and I was hoping he was here today, so I don't feel comfortable. I know Mike would represent a vote better. What do you think?
Yeah, I would vote yes.
Yes. Okay. PPI?
Yes.
Rings?
Yes.
Small bodies?
I'd vote yes.
Yes. And engineering?
Yes.
Okay. It sounds like we are going to recommend this SDR with the checksum table required for inclusion in the archive. Sorry, Gio.
Well, that brings up the next question.
Go ahead.
When do we start requiring it?
Oh.
Question you think we should avoid. Because, for example, I don't think we can start it for missions that have already begun to deliver data.
I agree.
I don't think we can start it for MRO, which is just on the brink of delivering. So where do you draw the line?
How about if we make it required now for... and then give waivers to every mission that has a pipeline set up. And that covers MRO plus Cassini and all of the others that are feeding us data now. But somebody that's in the process of building that hasn't built their pipeline, we can say, yes, you're under this one.
Or has, I guess really, doesn't it really reflect back to the archive plan, whatever gets signed off?
Yeah, I don't think if you've got an archive plan that you can get people to change it.
Right. If you have one, you might be able to negotiate a change, but it can't be imposed.
Are we fairly comfortable? I mean, what about just leaving this up to the discretion of the individual node? And, you know, they make a decision based on where the mission they're dealing with is at. No? Do you like the approach of going with the waivers then, making it required and issuing waivers for missions already in the pipeline?
historically, once somebody started developing a product, it was just some version of the standard,
right.
And then they didn't have to upgrade
right.
as we did. So
yeah.
MRO is going by 3.7,
I guess it would be, or whatever, yeah.
3.7, because this is going to be 3.8.
3.6. This will be in 3.8, right.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear Ron very well. Could you say what you just said?
Basically, he's saying the same thing that you guys have been saying. Historically, once a mission has started their archiving or has gotten fairly advanced in their pipeline process, we have not, they've been archiving to a certain level version of the standards, and we don't require them to suddenly change all their stuff to match the latest version of the standards that were newly issued.
Right. So
exactly. Yeah.
And if we go with this waiver scheme, who is it that issues the waivers?
Then there wouldn't have to be a waiver.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't sound like we need the waiver
yeah.
if we just
oh,
make
okay.
it 3.8.
Yeah. I'm having trouble following what you're all saying.
Okay, I think, yeah, so basically the summary is that this would be required for any mission that is archiving to version
She's right behind me.
Standards reference and on.
I have a question.
Okay, go ahead.
Is engineering node planning to provide a general purpose tool to create these checksum files and checkbox?
She's asking if engineering node is intending to create a tool to create these files. I think the answer at this stage is no, because we agreed that we would use the format that most of the common utilities already produce.
Yep.
So, but there won't be a tool to create the labels, automatically run through all the directories in a volume to deal with whatever
The SCR does not mention a tool like that. Basically, I initially did when we had a different format checksum table, but now that the checksum table is in the format provided by the utilities, no, I do not require any tool development of that kind. Basically, yeah, there's a sample label in the standards that people could grab, and it would require very little updating.
Anne, are you asking about checksums that are in the label or the checksum.tab file?
Checksum.tab file.
Tab file, yeah, because the first thing I had to do when I had to run checksums was I had to write a little script to start in the place where I wanted to start and join directly. It's slightly tricky, but that's about it. But it was a development effort of about a day, day and a half to get that and get those checksums to work, which may or may not affect how soon or how active or how much effort, how much fighting put up against doing this on all volumes. And again, provide a little wrapper around some common utility that's available on this platform to do it automatically.
And can you get closer to the mic or something? I can't hear you very well.
I'm sorry, I'm ill. I can't actually project very well. Is that any better?
A little.
Okay. The other thing I can do is does that help?
Again, a little bit, yeah.
A little bit, but not a lot. Okay, well.
Okay.
So much for headsets.
Oh, that's much better.
Yeah, well, I have a headset because I'm actually trying to make lunch and do stuff like that at the same time. So basically what I'm thinking is that a simple little wrapper tool that would go around any one of several MD5 utilities out there would turn the amount of work required for any particular node or mission pipeline to implement this from maybe a day to here's a button, push it, which may save you some argument down the road or may encourage people who are already in process to add the checksums because it's so little effort.
And how generic is your tool?
It will work on any of the checksum routines that are on my Linux box, but I haven't actually put it into a configurable state yet where I can easily export it to work on any directory tree at any point in the disk space. It's very specific to the job that I needed to do with the near MSI restoration.
Okay, is it your opinion? I mean, okay, number one, would you be willing to just send us the script? And if you were,
sure.
Do you think it would probably save the amount of work that would have to be done here? I mean, from a day to an hour or something like that?
Possibly. I only have one system to work on that can even run MD5 checksums, and so I don't know how it would work on a Mac or a PC, but I've got a Linux system where it works.
Is it a Perl script, or what?
It's a Perl wrapper around the MD5 sum routine.
Yeah.
It'll also, actually, it'll run any checksum routine. You can give that as an optional argument.
Okay. My feeling is, as Ron has pointed out, the SCR, we've already voted on it as it stands. We can take, why don't we take a look at your script and on a best efforts basis, you know, we can maybe try and put something out there. That
I need to write something that's configurable first. There's no point in taking the script I've got now. There's way too much stuff hard-coded into it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So issue tool on best effort basis?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. It was merely a query, not a requirement.
Okay.
Great.
Sounds good.
Good idea, though.
All right.
Could you reprise or whatever the answer to the question, when do we start requiring?
Yes, okay. When do we start requiring? All missions that will be archiving to version 3.8 or later of the standards are required to include the checksum.
And that version of the standards hasn't come out yet, right?
That's correct, yeah.
There you go. Is there an anticipated delivery date for that?
My schedule says June 30th. It's probably a little optimistic at the moment, but that's my goal.
So before or after the Windows operating system comes out?
But anyway, yeah. And again, you know, I think if you've got a mission that's really excited about checksums, go ahead and do it. But as far as requiring it goes, I think version 3.8 and later. Okay, I had one other item on the agenda, which was to give you guys a quick rundown on the standards website. Unfortunately, there's a lot of broken pages in there I've been trying to fix this week without luck. So I'd like to postpone that for a couple of weeks. I do want to give you guys just an overview of what's available out there and show you what the various pages are supposed to do, who their intended audience is, et cetera. But like I said, I'm going to have to postpone that for a couple of weeks. Any other comments or information that we need to hear about right now?
No, I merely ask about the next telecon, which would normally be, what, 2 weeks from now?
That's correct.
We have a data review at UMD, so if we have one 2 weeks from now, I will be able to attend, so depending on the agenda, that may or may not be a problem.
Okay. Okay, let me note that, and then if I can try and make sure that anything that we will be discussing is out. What about the Friday morning before the telecon? Would that give you adequate time to review?
That would be very helpful because then David and I can discuss things on Monday before the review if necessary to make the...
Yeah, I could attend. So if Ann has comments to send me, I could stand in for her again.
Okay. The next telecon. So materials, I will try and get them out by Friday morning so you can vote ahead of time. Okay, great. I think that's it, Ben.
Beautiful.
You guys have a great couple of weeks, and we'll talk to you later.
Thanks.
Thanks a lot.